encourage you guys to do that, because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. There's a lot of stuff in these chapters, and it would just be nice, it would be beneficial for you guys to go ahead and read before, because sometimes we'll go through and there's so much stuff in this chapter, I might be kind of like skipping over. I'm going to kind of give you like the cliff notes of it, meaning just the things that pop out to me, but maybe there's something that pops out to you. And as always, if you guys need to or want to talk more in depth about it, we could talk after church, or, you know, us as youth leaders can always, or we're always here for you guys to talk about anything. All right? So last week, we were in chapter 4. So this week, we would be in 5. Right. You guys are awesome. See, you guys do this. All right. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Emily, can you read that? I'm going to be like calling on you guys to read a lot. So Jesus saw this crowd, right? He saw this crowd and he seized an opportunity. He saw opportunity and he seized it. Now his disciples, it mentions his disciples, they came around. Now obviously we all know they're the 12 disciples, right? But Jesus had a lot more than 12. He's talking about the crowd. Basically, simply a disciple is a student, is one of Jesus' students. So you guys are disciples, right? If you're following Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus, you guys are his disciples. So he's talking about the crowd. So Jesus went up on a mountainside, it said, right? And we're not sure exactly where that was. It's not really a big deal, but it more than likely it was a high hill on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. You know, and this would act as a natural amphitheater. Right? It's very similar to how Moses talked to all of Israel back in the Old Testament. It's because, you know, amphitheater, it amplifies your voice. So he'd be speaking up on the top of the hill and so that everybody could hear him. Now, when Jesus got up there, he sat down. Now, this was very typical to what the teachers back in that day and the rabbis did. So it was signifying that, you know, he was about to do a teaching and he's doing the teacher role right there and the rabbi role. So he began teaching, and it was become known as the Sermon on the Mount, right? You've all heard of the Sermon on the Mount, right? So this is the Sermon on the Mount. This covers 3 chapters in the New Testament. This is the Sermon on the Mount. So it goes from 5 to 7. And it covers all kinds of aspects in our lives and how we should conduct ourselves. So I'm going to try to get through chapter 5. But if, like I said, if you want to talk more afterwards, you know, if there's something I missed, but if you haven't read it before today, go ahead and read it again, because the more you read the Bible, the more you get out of the Bible. So Jesus starts with what has been known to be as the Beatitudes. You know, what our attitudes should be. You know, they all start with blessed are. So what is blessed? What is blessed to you guys? What do you see as being blessed? What do you, if you have said, oh, that person's blessed, what makes that person blessed? Something good to happen to him, right? Anything else? Or is that pretty much... it? So one might say, blessed are those who reach their goals of success. You know, those who are the life of the party, always fun to be around. You know, maybe the class clown a little bit. It's definitely you. Those who are strong, beautiful, you know, rich and clever. Independent, very secure in what they're doing. You know, those people who are just, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. You know, and always in control. They're victorious over their enemies. Their opinion is always right. And they get whatever they want, winning all the fights they've ever started, never getting in trouble, and misfortune never finds its way to their doorstep. You know, sounds pretty blessed, right? Okay, so we're going to read what Jesus calls blessed. And that is, we're going to start with verses 3 through 5. Cassie. So the poor in spirit. Poor meaning lacking spirit. And we're not talking about the Spirit of God. Spirit meaning headstrong, stubborn, prideful, very strong, opinionated. You know, if we're training a horse and we call it high-spirited, we'd be calling it that it's very proud and unbroken. You know, lacking trust in others. Doing everything in their own power. You know, that's not poor in spirit. That'd be somebody rich in spirit. You know, men may fail us over and over and over again. But we should always know that God will never, ever fail us. Keeping that in the forefront of our brains, that we could always lean on God and He'll never fall over. He'll always be there for us. He'll always strengthen us. In Psalms 73:26, my flesh and my heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now, those who mourn, you know, it's not just talking about somebody who's sad, who's throwing a pity party for themselves, you know, has a little bit of touch of crybabyitis, but it's that word mourn, that mourn what is that they're sad for somebody else, for somebody else's sake. You know, thinking of others, having compassion for the well-being of others. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish and ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And then the meek, those who are gentle and kind. Now, there are those who see meekness as weakness. You know, just because they rhyme, I don't know why they see that. But I ask you the question, what is easier, to argue or to make peace? What do you think? Is it easier just to argue with somebody or to make peace? It's easier to make peace? That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, for me... It sounds topsy-turvy, but sometimes it's easier to argue. You know, sometimes it's stronger to be humble because our flesh is weak and it wants to be selfish. It wants to get its way. You know, it doesn't want to compromise. It doesn't want to settle. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, we just hit these three that Jesus talked with, these three attitudes, and they're all dealing, I feel like they all deal with something in common. Some kind of attitude would be in common with these three. So the poor of spirit, oh my gosh, the meek and those who mourn, right? So you guys, can you think of something they all have in common? Starts with an H. Humble, right? They're all humble. They're all humble. You know, they trust in a higher power. You know, they put others first, and they encourage others. So they're all humble. And then let's read Matthew chapter 5, 6 through 8. Still in the Beatitudes. Elena. All right. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, hunger and thirst are needs, right? When you get to that point, it's a need. It's not just a want. You know, I may want a steak, but a PB&J is what all I need, right? There's needs and there's wants. You know, it's kind of like that feeling is I would rather die than eat a black olive. Right? But the seriousness of looking for righteousness. He's talking about the seriousness of looking for righteousness. And there's that promise that you will never die from that hunger. That hunger is not going to kill you, but you will find what you're seeking if you're serious about it. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Then it goes down to the merciful. There's an old computer term, I don't know if they still use it, back in my day. It was garbage in, garbage out. What do you think that meant? Exactly. Now, for the computers, it was garbage in to the computer. If you put garbage into the computer, in turn, you don't get garbage out of the computer. But exactly, if you hang around the bad elements, some of it's going to seep in, and then you don't have the bad element. So, if you are kind to others, more than likely, they're going to be kind to you. You know, if you wave to somebody, if you smile to somebody, unless they're having a horrible day, they should be smiling back and waving back, right? In Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, this is known as a rule. Did you know that? It's a color. Golden rule, right? Whatever you do to, whatever you want somebody to do to you, do to them, right? Now, there are some people, what take advantage of others' kindness. And I feel there is a special place in hell for those people because it is not right. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. So a millstone is a huge stone, right? He'd be drowning. It'd be better for him. You know, I actually just heard the other day, and maybe that's why it's sensitive for me, but I just heard about somebody scamming a friend's elderly mom. You know, those who scam the elderly or take advantage of children, you know, they should be very thankful that I'm not God, because I struggle with showing mercy for somebody who does not have mercy on other people. The pure of heart. You know, those who see the best in people, who always see the best in people, right? You guys see the best in people, don't you? Sometimes. All the time, right? Not focusing on the worst, not pinpointing the worst of things, but having love in your heart, right? And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. God is love, right? God is love. And back to the Beatitudes, verse 9 through 12 in Lee. The peacemakers, right? Now, I feel like those are the people what they don't like drama. And I'm not talking about the acting class, right? I'm talking about Sally doesn't like you because you like Ben, because she likes Ben, so she doesn't like you, so you spread a nasty rumor about her kind of drama, right? That kind of drama. Peacemaker does not like that drama. You know, the peacemaker are those who go out of their way to maintain peace. You know, when there's an argument around, they try to shut it down instead of fueling it with fire. You know, 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, not returning evil for evil, our revelry for revelry, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. So, if you're not returning evil for evil, that just fuels that fire, that argument, you know, keeps it going. But a blessing, you know, if you bless that and you're trying to make peace, you will in turn inherit a blessing yourself. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, those who would rather be right no matter what the consequence. You know, I know junior high and high school can be hard. You know, there's a pecking order, right? We all know this. Maybe not girls, they're a little bit different. I know how it is, the pecking order for guys, but sometimes, or I don't know if you guys experienced this, but maybe you've seen a kid being picked on or bullied at school, and you're just kind of glad you're not the one being bullied, right? But the thing is that if you go along with it and you do nothing, it's pretty much like you were the one bullying that poor kid. Yes, it may not be the popular thing to do. It may go against peer pressure. But doing the right thing is always the best thing. You know, you might get backlash, but you should stand up for the right thing. Persecuted for God's sake. Now, this, unfortunately, and I don't understand it, but there are people what are going to hate you because you love and believe in God. You know, I think it's fueled by the devil, somehow got in there, and they have this need or want to put doubt in your guys' head. Now, and that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to put doubt in as many people as he can possibly. But we need to stay strong. Stay strong in your faith. In Psalms chapter 46, 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We don't have to be afraid even if there was an earthquake, right? He's explaining an earthquake, a major event. And sometimes those events in high school and junior high, it might feel like a major event. But you don't have to be afraid because God is our refuge and strength. You know, because there's a reward afterwards, right? We should be rejoicing because there's going to be a great reward in heaven. Kind of reminds me of when this youth leader, Mother Teresa, in a New York cabbie, entered the pearly gates, right? Jesus was there welcoming him. And he came along and he took the youth leader and he said, "Oh, well, here's your house." And it's this modest little two-bedroom house. And the youth leader's like, "Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. But who has that two-story huge house next to mine?" Jesus told him, "Well, that's Mother Teresa's, because all the work she did." The youth leader, still looking a little puzzled, and he said, "But then who's the mansion next to hers?" He said, "Oh, well, that's the New York cabbie, because whenever he drove, everybody prayed to me." Right? That was good stuff. That's my best joke. Oh, thanks. But there is rewards in heaven. You know, we don't have rewards, you know, what we think there might be rewards here on earth, but we can't take it with us, right? And look forward to the rewards in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 13. Okay, in ancient times, did you know that salt was a necessity for life? It's a seasoning. It was used for seasoning, preservatives. They didn't have refrigerators back then, right? Did you know you could salt meat and everything? It would last a longer period of time without being refrigerated. And it was also a disinfectant. Jesus says that you guys are the salt of the earth. That you guys are the salt of the earth. And he's trying to encourage that you don't lose who you guys are. You know, whether it be for whatever reason, he doesn't want you guys to lose your seasoning, right? He wants you guys to stay who you guys are. Stay true to yourselves. You know, do not lose strength and do not lose faith. In verses 14 through 16, back to you, Elena. So, what's a light made for? Bless you. Help people see, right? So it doesn't make sense to put a cover on it, right? To hide that light. Does it? No, it's the light is made to get rid of darkness. To get rid of fear and doubt in the unknown, right? Has anybody ever seen a city on the hill at night? Yeah, right, from a distance? You knew where it was. How'd you know where it was? Because you could see it, right? Because of the light. So the same thing for you guys. When you guys are in your everyday, you know, we know you guys have light here, but what about at school? Let your light shine. Let your light shine so that people all around you know who you are and that you're Christian. You know, but again, encouraging you not to lose that, not to try to hide it away from others, because you're afraid that you're going to be persecuted. But, you know, and as on the Beatitudes, you know, whether you be persecuted for God's sake, you will be blessed. You know, sometimes it's hard, but you will be blessed. But do not lose who you guys are. Matthew 17, and let's go through 20. Emily. So Jesus came to complete and fulfill the law. You know, the scribes and Pharisees, they charged him that they said, oh, well, this guy, this teacher, this Jesus, wanted to get rid of the law, or wants to get rid of the law. But what Jesus really wanted to do is he wanted to explain the law better. He wanted to let us know that not just following every bit of the law, you know, every jot or tittle. Does anybody know what those are? What is a jot? It's kind of like the smallest little symbol in the Hebrew when they're writing it, a jot. So it's just a little, just like the smallest little piece of it. And then a tittle. We don't use these words nowadays, but what do you think that is? Anybody have any idea? Emily knows, right? No? Cassie? So, you've seen like old ancient writing and stuff, and there's like, it looks like calligraphy, right? Almost. There's that little horn at the top of the letters. That's a tittle, the little horn. Actually, in Greek, they say horn, but it's just like, It'd be just like the little extension or just everything. So it's every little bit of the law, you know, we need to follow. But we're not just following it, but we're living it. We should be living it. The scribes and Pharisees broke the law down into works. You know, they're trying to do works. But the law is not just about the outward action. It all starts in the heart. It all starts in the heart. You know, do we obey the speed limit because it's the right thing? Who's driving? Do we obey the speed limit because it's the right thing, or because there might be a police officer hiding around the corner? I know it's close. I mean, you know, Jesus goes on and he takes two of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery. Both seem pretty cut and dry, right? It's kind of like, there's like, no, okay. That's all there is, right? You know, and then we start feeling good about ourselves because I haven't killed anybody in the last week or so, right? So I think I'm pretty good. But then Jesus digs a little deeper in Matthew chapter 5, right? Verses 21. And let's go to 26. Yes, Cassie, it's your turn. Adversaries. Quickly, while you are on the way with them, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, the judge hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown to prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out until you have paid the last penny. So murder starts with anger. You know, even a quick-tempered moment, which I'm sure most of us may have had, right? A quick-tempered moment. You know, it's kind of like calling a brother Raka and fool was a big deal back then. You know, I guess those were kind of like the cuss words of the day. You know, words have changed, but they keep similar meanings. You know, raka means empty head. In basic terms, it means empty head. Or what'd be something, it'd be dumb, right? Or stupid. There's actually a German word, and I don't know why. I only know a few German words, and it's dummkopf and dumb head. But shouldn't be teaching you that. Don't tell your parents. of course, I'm recorded. If you called somebody that, you could be sued. That's how serious it was. You could be sued. Now, fool, you know, if you think about it, is very condescending. It's very condescending. It's much more condescending than calling being dumb or stupid. But it's very condescending because it's saying that, you know, you're lower than me and that you'll never be good at anything. And that, it wasn't about being sued. What was the consequences about that? It's that you don't have to talk to God about it, right? It was so serious, you don't have to talk to God about it. It actually says hellfire. right? So that anger, you know, and he's just talking about words, right? But that's how anger starts. You know, if you let anger into your heart, you know, it could grow. And every murder started with anger, just somebody being angry. So we don't want, you know, not murdering is great, but we need to be better. We need to not let that anger grow in our heart. And then 27 through 30, Elena. So, just like murder, adultery starts with that evil seed, you know, that look of lust, that evil seed in your heart. You know, Jesus goes further and just saying not just to do it, right? He says it's better to go through anything than have your body sin, right? It's better to lose your eye or hand. Actually, just cut it out and throw it away. It's like, it's not a big deal, right? That'd be, you know, but it's better to get rid of whatever's going to let you sin or lead you to sin. Is get that out of your life because it's always going to be there if you let it. Matthew 31 through 32. Okay, so back then there was a trend. You know, how there's trends going around, you know, dresses and shoes and holes in your pants, right? There's trends that go around all over the... But there was a trend going around that was started and men were divorcing their wives for the littlest things. You know, oh, she burnt my toast. Here, I'll write you a certificate, right? You know, and all they needed to do is give the wife a certificate of divorce. Now, Jesus holds marriage very sacred and very binding. It's a sacred thing. You know, and because women, typically back then, they weren't really allowed to make a living on their own, right? So people would think it's a man's world now. They should really look at the past because it was really a man's world back then. The women would typically have to get remarried just in order to have a roof over their head. You know, unless they could move back in with their parents or something. But if their parents were gone, they'd need the man to provide for them. Now, if the divorce was not about adultery, then the woman who remarried, she would be committing adultery with her new husband. And her new husband would be committing adultery. Now, that sin wasn't really on them. It was actually put on the old husband, what divorced her. So it was something to give him a second, something to think twice about because those sins would be put on him. And again, it's because adultery is a sexual immorality. Right? Sexual immorality is any sex outside of the bounds of marriage. Right? And this is a very serious deal to Jesus. You know, there are reasons to get divorced, but this, he claims that, or he says that this woman would be committing adultery if it wasn't about this, that divorce. So you need to be very serious before you get that divorce. And you need to be very serious about sex. Sex is nothing to be taken lightly. It is a serious matter. It's a very serious matter to Jesus. Matthew verses, what are we at? 33 through 37. So another trend was going around that day. And see, Jesus knew exactly what was going through people's heads and their hearts. And these trends were going around, and they were going around where people were making oaths unto the Lord. You know, and it wasn't in the courtroom, but it was a common thing. You know, they were kind of making these ways just to make people think or to prove that they're telling the truth, whether they were or not. You know, I swear to God, I'm not trying to sell you an old goat. You know, it's a yearling, right? You know, they were, you know, sometimes, or I feel like there would be a lot of times people were telling the truth, but then there was a trend where people would say that and it wasn't the truth. It wasn't the truth. Or they were swearing on their own head, but then if it didn't come true, they didn't really want to be killed. Because if you cut off your head, you'd die, right? They didn't want to die over that. So Jesus says, do not swear to God. Don't swear to heaven. Don't swear to earth or even your head, because none of those belong to you. You know, you can't swear by them. You know, because you can't give them if you're not, don't follow through. You know, if you swear to God, you know, if you don't follow through, you know, I guess you want God to smite you. Typically not, right? You know, so he says, don't swear to that. Just do not lie. He boils it down, just don't lie. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what he expects from us. And like I said, I'm going through this quick, but Matthew 38 through 41. So, you know, a lot of people, and I feel like a lot of people, they look at this and they feel like our Christians should be pushovers or take everything. And Jesus is not talking about that. He's not talking about that. Back in the day, you know, we know that Rome, you know, held Israel, right? They conquered them and they occupied the region, right? So when the Roman soldiers would be walking around, they'd just be marching, and they'd be carrying these heavy packs. It was legal for them to take a citizen and go, hey, I need you, or you need to carry my pack. And it was legal for them to make somebody carry that pack for 1 mile. Not any further. Once the mile is done, you could just drop it and leave. But Jesus, this is where Jesus says, go the extra mile. Give them one more. Right? And this, you got to understand, this would be hard for the Jews right now because they were really upset with the Romans because they didn't appreciate it being occupied. They didn't appreciate getting conquered. But he says, go the extra mile. And it's about going out of your way to be kind. Going out of their way to be kind. Even if it's an inconvenience to you. And I don't pick on driving just because it's something simple and we're all going to be doing it. But have you ever been driving, and passengers will be feeling this too, ever been driving and there's a long line, let's say you're at Walmart or going to Sholo from Walmart. There's been a lot of barricades, right? Anybody's felt that traffic jam? And then all of a sudden you're just waiting in line and then somebody zips by and gets ahead of you like they're cutting, right? Now, are we kind? Is it an inconvenience? Or do we think evil thoughts, right? Are we leaving, let's say, the 4th of July over there at Sholo, and you're trying to wait for your spot? Do you let somebody cut in or not? It's little things. It's going out of your way, even if it's an inconvenience, being kind to others. Matthew 43 through 48. You know, love those who already love you. You know, that's easy. You know, it's easy to be kind when everybody's kind to you. Jesus wants us to be better than those worldviews. You know, crossing that line in loving and praying those who hate you. I think it's kind of ironic here. You know, does anybody remember what Matthew's occupation was before he was a disciple? Tax collector. And then Jesus is using a tax collector. Even the tax collectors, even Matthew does that, right? But, you know, in some versions, it'll be Gentile. Even those who don't believe in God, you know, they're kind to somebody who's kind to them. But he's made us better than that. He wants us to be better than that. He wants us to extend that olive branch to everyone, to even those who hate us. You know, Jesus explains all kinds of problems that people deal with, that people dealt with back then, but they're still dealing with them today. And it's all throughout the Bible. You know, all we need to do is open up our ears and listen. So, next chapter. Next Sunday will be chapter 6. Chapter 6. So, Cassie, can you end us in prayer?